Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Scary news in the world of sports. We'll get to it in a second. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save big on auto insurance. It's really the best thing you can do with your phone in a few minutes. Just call 888-FARMERS and start saving today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
This is Cam Newton talking about Bill Belichick on the I Am Athlete podcast.
I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of
100%, 1,000%.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game. And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game.
So we paint Bill Belichick as this loser, doesn't know it was about Brady. We do this. We have this need to do, it's all or nothing in sports, all or nothing in politics, all or nothing in life. And that's not accurate. And I don't believe that Tom Brady has nearly the success in his career that he had if Bill Belichick's not the coach and not running the Patriots. And I value Belichick to a greater level than I value Brady, he doesn't win or get to nearly as many Super Bowls if he doesn't have Brady as his quarterback. I think that goes without saying. Now, look, if Brady didn't have Belichick, there would be another coach. If Belichick didn't have Brady, there would be another quarterback. I think, you know, it's hard to tell who was more responsible for the average person. I think for most people in sports, you're like, yeah, it's the coach, the guy who organizes and picks the assistant coaches and the system and the draft picks and whatever, and the whole thing, that's about Belichick. But what we do is, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, like, look at what he did to, look, they were 7-5. They were struggling. They had a bye week at the end, towards the end, the last bye week. And they played a weak schedule to get going. They won 4 in a row. And then they got the Washington football team, the first round of playoffs, who couldn't beat them. I mean, Taylor Heineke was the starting quarterback. Had no chance. And then they proceed to win 3 massive games. Massive. But I think what's fascinating is that Belichick can still be right even after Brady wins the Super Bowl. The expression of the NFL is, it's better off a year too early than a year too late. And if that's true for Brady, then it was a year too early and he still had something in the tank. And next year you'll see the decline. And maybe he doesn't play football anymore. All these guys, like, I want to play till it. They're not. They don't really want to play till they're 45. They want to get as much money as they can. And what they're doing is they're sending out signals to, hey, you know, if you don't lock me up long term, I'm going to play elsewhere because I'm going to play till I'm 45. Russell Wilson ain't playing till he's 45. But I look at it and I say that Brady winning only proves Belichick's point. That, like, look, he still thought he was fine. He couldn't have won with the Patriots because they were in a cap hell year. It's like the Steelers next year. They're in cap hell. Like, the chance of them forming a Super Bowl team is not great. Not great. Then factor in that the Patriots didn't have how many guys because of opt-outs on defense? You know, 8 guys, and then your best player gets hurt for half the season? Like, come on, man. I got no shot. That's not on Belichick. But Belichick can still be right about getting off the Brady train at the right moment if Brady suffers a serious decline this upcoming year. Because that's always been his thing. That's always been the thing in the NFL. Better a year too early than a year too late. Then there's this story. There are three teams that Deshaun Watson has expressed a willingness to approve a trade to. The Jets, the Dolphins, and the Panthers. And look, the Panthers have kind of unzipped their proverbial fly and said, hey, we want a quarterback. They have multiple picks. They have some guys that might be able to move back. The Jets have tons of picks. And the Dolphins, well, the Dolphins are a place that people want to play. Here's the curious part to it. I'm not sold on Tua like I am on Deshaun. But in order to get Deshaun, you're not just going to have to give up Tua. You're going to have to give up a bunch of other, whether it's picks or players. So how do you expect to have guys around you to make plays? It's even worse with the Jets. They have picks and they have cap room. They're going to lose some of the cap room if they get him, and they would lose almost all the picks. The other part for the Dolphins is they just hired a quarterback coach specifically tailored to work with Tua. And one of the parts of their philosophy, which is, I'm sure they'd take Deshaun Watson, but philosophically, you want to build up your team while your quarterback is under a rookie contract, not the veteran contract that Deshaun Watson is under. Four-year, $156 million contract contains a no-trade clause. His base salary is only $10.5 million this year, carrying a cap hit of $15.9 million. While his cap hit jumps in subsequent years, Wilson's contract can be renegotiated to mitigate his cost. The one problem with renegotiating is you're still going to pay that tax. That luxury, that salary cap hit is still going to take place. It just may not take place when you get all the money up front like he did last year.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's the Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS-TO-SWITCH and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. All right, if you're just joining us, the big story of the day is Tiger Woods. Another update upcoming, but here's what we know as of this very moment. And again, if Dan Beyer, feel free to hop in if I'm not, my stuff is not timely. It's basically one car crash, 7:15 this morning. Wasn't reported until like 10:30 this morning. Jaws of life pried him out. Went to the hospital, multiple leg injuries, in surgery. We don't know if he's out of surgery as of yet, but not life-threatening. So the good news is not life-threatening. The bad news is we don't have any idea how bad it is for his body. And when you immediately go to surgery, something's wrong. Something has to be dramatically fixed. Is that it, Byer? Did I miss anything?
Just a couple of updates on stuff. And this is, it's always unique, Doug, just because in a breaking news situation, there is a lot of information going around. People say, all right, you're going to speculate about this. Don't say that. This is what actually happened this morning in the release from the specific L.A. County Sheriff's Department that's specific to that area. Doug, they said that they needed the jaws of life to get Tiger out, as you had mentioned. That now is being refuted by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department and the L.A. County Sheriff and the L.A. County Fire Department. So they are saying that the jaws of life were not needed, despite that part being in part of a statement that was released by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department earlier today. Tiger was responsive and communicating with emergency personnel when they arrived on the scene just after 7 o'clock this morning. But you're right, word didn't leak out about this wreck that it involved Tiger Woods till I would say, you know, almost 4 hours after the accident occurred. And his agent Mark Steinberg saying, yeah, multiple leg injuries, non-life-threatening injuries. ESPN did say that they heard got word from a source that Tiger suffered two broken legs, but we have not heard that from anywhere else, and there's nothing official from the Sheriff's Department or from Tiger's agent.
Okay, now, and just so is like full disclosure, like my mom is 75. She fell a week and a half ago. It was like a Friday, and she calls me and she's like, I fell. I'm like, you hear that from your mom. I'm like, oh my God, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I tripped when I was walking the dog. Why she walks the dog at night, don't know. She said she just tripped. My arm hurts a little bit, right? So I go to the hospital, and our neighbor is kind enough to be there, sitting there with her. And anyway, she ended up having a fractured right elbow and left shoulder blade. But they're very, and she's 75, so it's a bigger thing, right? Now she's like mummified. She's been mummified ever since. And, but, you know, like a fracture is a fracture. A break is a break. They're different things. Again, I'm now we're getting into the totally speculative, but that's why I think they're talking about, wait, jaws of life. Did we have to cut him out? Yeah. Do we need the jaws of life? No. There's a little, we're just not trying to freak people out. A broken leg. Okay, is that a fractured leg? Is there a leg fracture? Or is it actually a displaced fracture? Is it broken, clean break all the way through? Is it a, you know, is it something gruesome sort of broken leg? You know, like we don't, there's all different levels to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to tell. But my statement is like, God, his body's been through a lot. Achilles tendon, ACL. He's had multiple back surgeries, right? And at some point your body, he was struggling to get his body right. Obviously, that's why he had another back surgery. He was struggling to get his body right previously. Now you have multiple fractures reportedly in his legs. I don't know if he ever plays professional golf again.
It's so tough, and all of that argument is true. The window as well of him winning a major. I know that's the farthest thing, but honestly, there's only so much that we know.
No, it's part of the deal, right? Yeah. It's the reason, like, we can sit here, people can sit here and listen to us and go like, you guys are callous. You guys are, what are you talking about? Tiger has said, judge me based upon my majors, okay? And he's been the greatest professional golfer of my lifetime, okay? But he hasn't passed Jack, and he's probably not going to before this, and now it feels like he's definitely not going to. But you can say like, well, that's not a problem. He's not going to die. He's okay. We don't know what caused the accident. We're completely sensitive to it. But at some point, like, we're a sports show, and this is what Tiger's career is about.
Yeah. And this no doubt wipes out any major that he would play this year. I mean, the Masters is a little over a month away. When you talk about just playing, and obviously we know what's happening, when you talk about just playing, he won't return for Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open in June, which would have been quite a scene. And then the Open Championship, remember, is in July, and that's the final major because the PGA is now played in May, which is in South Carolina this year. So you take out these four majors, again, at 45 years old, and now to come back and I mean, to come back from this type of injury after already dealing with, who knows, Doug, what this did to his back again. You know, so everything that you're saying is fair. There's no way he's going to play again in any majors this year, so that takes four out of the equation to want to add to it. Now to come back and do, you know, what he's going to try to do in 2022 just seems like it's quite a bit to ask of him.
Crazy. Like I thought when he won the Masters, I thought when he won the Masters a couple years, you know, that was that almost 2 years ago.
Yes.
I mean, I've always known that I've always said that the major he would win would be the Masters when he come back, just because that course with no real rough setup to his game, he honored it, knew it well, had won there. Even after Elin and that car accident, he finished fourth that year. Like there's a lot of, so, but the, you know, you had to think like, man, maybe he's getting close because he had the year before the back surgery where he had all those wins without winning a major.
Yeah,
he's the best player on tour.
Yeah, won five times in 2013, didn't get a major then. There was also, and it just because my opinion was different of what he was going to accomplish. Remember, there was also the 2018 Open Championship where he had the lead at a point, and then Francesco Molinari ended up winning. But now you're saying, oh, wow, Tiger was in the hunt. Then in the 2018 PGA Championship, which was in St. Louis in August, remember he, Adam Scott and Brooks Koepka were the ones going down to the wire. And that was the one that I think really captivated everyone because he was going low with Brooks, who was, you know, the new like major champion slayer. And then he goes and wins the Tour Championship that next month. And now you're saying this is the natural progression. And then when we watched Tiger Woods, it was the natural progression to then he wins a bunch of majors. So when he won that Masters, again, I don't fault people for thinking it just wasn't realistic, but that was the pattern that everything was set up, challenging at the Open Championship, challenging at the PGA Championship, getting that win at the Tour Championship. And then when he gets the Masters win, you're like, now it's in motion. But Yeah, I think that's going to be the period at the end of the sentence when it comes to major championships. Right. I hope he plays golf again. I think that he's going to play golf again. But again, I don't know how serious these injuries actually are that he suffered today.
Tiger Woods, we'll get a quick update in a second. I wanted to do this real quick on Dak Prescott. It's been a major part of the discussion, which Dak Prescott, which everyone I've watched on TV has said, boy, the pressure's really on the Cowboys. Dak has leverage. And I do think Dak has some leverage in that the Cowboys don't want to carry that big. If you sign a franchise tag deal, dollar for dollar, that goes on the cap. So the cap didn't go up this year. It's like $180 million. So if you sign for, it's $37.7 million, it goes against the cap. That's the short-term leverage you have. Now, the long-term leverage is, if you only franchise tag him and then next year you kind of can't again, it becomes like $46 million. You look at that one and, okay, maybe the cap goes up substantially at the end of this year. It's very possible. But he'd be a free agent, and there's this thought in mind that, well, once he hits free agency, he's not going to be a Cowboy anymore. Why would that be the case? Why would that be the case? Like, look, if you don't want to offer Dak Prescott more than $35 million, you don't have to offer him more than $35 million. If somebody wants to pay him $40 million to be their quarterback at the end of this season, guaranteed, for however many years, they can have him. And oh yeah, by the way, if you decide you want to match that, you can match that. And there's a pretty good chance you're going to get to keep him. Do you know why? Because his house is there. His equity is there. He knows what he has there. Leaving's really hard. You don't know what the options are going to be. The Jaguars are going to get Trevor Lawrence. They're going to be good. They're good at quarterback. All right, they're good. The Rams are good at quarterback. The Chargers are good at quarterback. Let's see what happens with the Broncos. Let's see what happens with the Giants. See what happens with the Eagles. There will be some teams that need a quarterback next year, but will there be teams that need a quarterback next year that will need one so badly they'd pay Dak Prescott $40-plus million, and even if they did offer that, that Dallas wouldn't match, or that he'd take it if Dallas matched? Because as much as we like to try and paint Dallas as somebody who's not loyal and not into Dak Prescott, they offered him a 5-year deal worth over $35 a year. And over the past 2 years, last year and then coming into this year, he'll make $75 million guaranteed in 2 years.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Call 888-FARMERS. You can save a whole lot of something on your auto insurance. Eddie House is an analyst for Fox Sports 1, covering the NBA. He's a guy who was a bucket getter in college, bucket getter in the pros, an NBA champion. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, let me start with the Lakers. I watched the game last night. I mean, like, look, it's, you don't have Anthony Davis, you don't have Dennis Schroeder. But what do you do if you're Lakers in terms of how much you play LeBron?
Oh, man, that's a tough one because, I mean, if he's not out there, do they really – that guy, even with him being out there, some games are tough. They lose games, or they're fighting tooth and nail to just get the win. And you don't want to put yourself behind the eight ball too much by trying to rest him. I think they're in between a rock and a hard place, trying to figure out exactly how to manage that with guys getting hurt. I think what we have noticed is that DeMar Gasol experiment hasn't been working so well, and I think what they really miss is that interior defense that they had last year. You know, a lot of guys were talking about Dwight Howard being long in the tooth, JaVale McGee, not really that much of an offensive player, but what they did defensively and what they brought to the table defensively allowed guys to be a little bit more aggressive on the perimeter, knowing that they had help on the back end to just change shots. Maybe not block shots, but to just change shots and make it a little difficult to be finishing at the rim. And I think that's what they're missing right now more than anything. I believe they went and got out a lot of guard. They got guard play, but they missed the part of, you know, what really helped them last year was their ability to defend the paint.
So do you Do you sign DeMarcus Cousins? I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is the guy they want to bring back. Like, what do you do if you're the Lakers to fix it?
I mean, that's an interesting one because DeMarcus Cousins has played well in spots this year, right? And you do need size. You need somebody that can move. I think he's a more a viable player than Marc Gasol at this juncture of Gasol's career. I just not sure that like how that will all mesh. I think the Lakers are in a tough spot. They weren't anticipating these injuries, and that's one thing that you can never kind of figure out is injuries, man. You know, injury bug, it hits you, and it changes the whole chemistry of the team. It changes the trajectory of the team, and that's what they're dealing with right now. So to answer your question about LeBron, right, I just don't think that if he feels that he's able to play and continue to play at this level and bank the minutes because he does take care of his body the way he does, I think you have to ride with that and you have to trust him. I don't think as the organization, I don't think that you can come out and say, hey, no, we're going to put the kibosh on you playing X amount of minutes at the detriment of how you could, you know, you start stacking wins or losses.
Eddie House, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What do you think of Brooklyn so far?
Oh, man, they look real good. I tell you what, they've got better defensively. And people always was knocking James. So I think James Harden got better defensively over the last few years. He's not a defensive stopper, but he's definitely a really good team defender, and you could depend on him. I think that, you know, getting the guys on the back end to buy in, you know, the DeAndre Jordans, the Jeff Greens, the guys that could get out there and really kind of be disruptors, to get those guys to buy in, it seems like they have been doing that. I'm really impressed with what James has done as far as saying, I'm going to be the point guard and I will facilitate. I'm still going to get mines because there's enough out there for everybody to get. But I'm going to make sure that I'm facilitating. So I'm really impressed by how Brooklyn has been able to put that together so quickly. Not so much the offensive end. I think we all understood that part of it. It's more so the defensive end, how they're starting to put it together defensively. And when you get a team that's able to score at will and can get stops, they're not a defensive juggernaut, but when you can get stops when it matters in certain situations and you are an offensive juggernaut, that's a scary team.
Definitely a scary team. Eddie House is our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show. What's the matter with the Celtics?
Oh, man. I think Kemba Walker, man. I think the fact that, you know, you go out, you get Kemba Walker, he's a big part of what you had anticipated. You lost Gordon Hayward, and I think that it's all they're trying to figure it out, man. They're trying to figure it out, and they just, you know, as good as Tatum is, as good as Brown is, I just don't think that right now they have everything it takes to compete on that next level. I think there's pieces that are missing there. You know, when you take a Tatum out or Tatum and one of them is in foul trouble and one has to sit for, you know, regular breaks, who is that guy? And when Kemba's not out there, okay, when Kemba has been hurt, so he's been, you know, hit and miss. It's really not another guy that we can look at and say, hey, they can depend on him night in and night out. And I think that's the issue that they're dealing with. That's another perfect example of injuries. And, you know, you don't take injuries into account. We all know that it happens in sports, but you don't assemble a team expecting injuries unless you're bringing on somebody who is extremely injury prone. And for the most part, you wouldn't even do that if you had championship aspirations. So I think that they just right now that they have some really real good young talent. They just need to put some things around, some pieces around those guys, and see what and try to propel that way. I think that's really the problem with them. They just don't have enough.
Eddie House, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here in the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. How playoff real are the Jazz?
I think they're real. Actually, to be honest with you, last year, injuries, Bogdanovich, before he went out, I thought that they were going to be a team competing in the West to be in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I just think that they're that good of a team. I think they have the nice mix of inside, outside. They got a rim protected. They got perimeter defense. They got stretch four. They got the intangibles. They got all the everything when you put it into a mix for a team to be successful. I believe they have that, and they also have they're well coached. Playing in Utah is always an advantage, no matter where it is. You especially coming off a back to back, or you know where whenever you're coming into Utah, it's always tough to get that win in Utah. So that's another advantage for them. So I think that they're a serious threat. Now, do a healthy Lakers versus a healthy Utah Jazz, who do I lean to? I lean towards, you know, having the best player in the world on the court and then one of the top five players in the league on the court as well. So I would lean towards more towards the Lakers. But the Jazz are for real. And I thought they were going to be for real last year, but Bogdanovich got hurt. But seeing a healthy team, this is exactly what I thought that they would look like last year if they were healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like their squad as well. Gobert is a guy who he's such a game changer with athleticism. The question has always been to me, do they have enough around Donovan Mitchell offensively? And I think, you know, obviously like Jordan Clarkson seems to change that. Like there's a dude who's fully bought into, there was times in which his reputation was that of a hangout guy. And this is what you're talking about with Utah. There's nothing to do there except work on your game. And his game is nice.
No, his game is extremely nice. That was a great addition for them. I mean, that's a guy who could take pressure off Donovan Mitchell when, you know, Donovan doesn't have to have the ball in his hands all the time or be trying to make the play, or the play is coming to him and he's trying to force everything. He has somebody he can lean on that he knows that, because Jordan Clarkson is a bucket getter. He's a proven bucket getter his way. So, I think that takes some of the pressure off of him to where he doesn't have to worry so much and carry so much of the load that he has been carrying before. So, I mean, that's a real team. And like you said, I mean, in Utah, there's pretty much nothing to do. I mean, and I don't think guys are out there skiing. You could go ski in Utah, but I don't think nobody's out there skiing.
Good stuff, man. Eddie, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, man.
That's my guy, Eddie House. Great dude. Awesome ball player and a terrific analyst. You can see him on Fox Sports 1. Follow him on Twitter at @EddieHouse_50. Coming up next, we'll get the latest update on Tiger Woods. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Dana Jeremiah joins us tomorrow. So too will Tara Sullivan for the Boston Globe. She's covered Tiger for years. We'll get a further update on everything that is in front of Tiger Woods, and hopefully this crash will be behind him. That's the big story of the day. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Dan, what do you
Fire.
Got?
Doug, this is the latest on Tiger Woods, and we're going to find out more in about 15 minutes when L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva is expected to address the Tiger Woods accident. New information coming in. The L.A. Times is now saying that a source close to the matter says that Tiger shattered his ankle in this one car wreck today. His agent, Mark Steinberg, did confirm that Tiger suffered multiple leg injuries and was undergoing surgery. The LA County Sheriff's Department did say non-life-threatening injuries for Tiger, who was responsive and communicated with paramedics at the scene of the crash. Now, officials, when they got there, obviously saw Tiger, and there was an official word earlier today that the jaws of life were needed to get Tiger out. That is not the case, and now they're saying that Tiger was actually removed from the vehicle. Again, responsive and communicating as they pulled him out through the windshield. The only specific news that we've heard about those leg injuries, Doug, is that the shattered ankle from the LA Times, but again, multiple leg injuries according to his agent. So that's what we know now when it comes to the situation involving Tiger Woods in that one car accident today.
Worst car accident you've ever been in?
Oh, geez. I don't want to say anything to jinx anything, so I don't even want to go down that road, Doug. I don't want any bad mojo, but
rank them.
So, no.
Have you been in a bad car accident?
No, I haven't. Thank goodness. And I am just knocking on wood right now. I've been in some fender benders.
This microphone is not wood. I don't know about substances.
I've been in some fender benders, and those aren't fun. I mean, even just something that minor, you know, so.
I got hit by a drunk driver in on the West Side Highway in New York. I was going to pick up my family at the airport, and it was unbelievably scary. And the guy, A guy was like a 0.24 or something. And I was just cruising along like it was a stop and go kind of thing. It was right by where the World Trade Center used to be, now where the memorial is. And I was looking around. It was so peaceful. And just bam, got plowed from behind. And there's like a guardrail kind of thing to the right. And then there's a police thing up like 1,000 yards up to the left. And it kind of drove me into the guardrail sort of thing. And I got out, and the driver's car, he was totally smashed in, but he was stumbling around drunk. And then there was another taxi that he had hit. And because I was rolling, I didn't take the full brunt of it, but it totaled my car. It was actually 6 years ago.
Wow.
6 years ago.
Oh, geez.
6 years and 2 days ago. And it was really scary, really scary. So I do wonder, you know, like with Tiger with the ankle, like I just can't imagine the, you know, those moments where all of a sudden you lose control of a car. That is a scary thing.
Yes, and again, and we're hearing that Tiger serious condition, but non-life-threatening injuries was a report earlier today. But we'll find more out coming up at the top of the hour, so keep it tuned here to Fox Sports Radio. Now on to other news. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott did have talks, according to the NFL Network's Gene Slater. Nothing substantial, though, on a contract extension. Today's the first day teams can place the franchise tag on one of their players. They have until March 9th to do so. Now, the NFL Network did add that the Cowboys are confident enough in Dak's rehab from his broken leg that they do want to do an extension now.
Hmm. What do you think happens?
I think they end up franchise tagging him again.
I do too. I do too. I think that, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where, like, now the Cowboys, for some reason, we, like, as a society, like, they'd be bad guys to, they're sitting there going, like, hey, man, look, you got hurt last year, no big deal. We're going to give you the same deal this year. And they're like, no, the market's gone up. Like, yeah, but your guy got hurt last year. We weren't winning. And somehow it'll be viewed as the market went up. Like, no, the market went up for Pat Mahomes. Because he's Pat Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't think it's actually the same market, but
yeah,
the salary cap did not go up. The market did not go up.
You know, I think that there would have been a time that Dak wouldn't mind being franchise tagged again, but now if you suffer another one of these injuries that he did, I don't know if that's, you know, when you're. We look at the quarterback market now, and I mean, if you could become available, somebody's gonna pay you.
Do you think somebody pays him $40 million if he's on the open market? It'd be a great because again, my problem with it is one, no one's been offered that amount of money as a free agent, and two, just because he's offered that doesn't mean the Cowboys can't match and he can't, you know, can't take it.
Yeah, I do. Just because I get the sense that a lot of the Watson talk is because it's via trade. So not only are you paying the guy that amount, you are losing your assets. Where at least if you signed Dak, you wouldn't be losing your assets. You would just be using your cap space for him. So that's why I think
Yes, you would. Yes. Is he as good as Watson?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's maybe more my point, is that
yeah,
no one thinks he's, we don't think he's top five, and I'm not sure he's, and Deshaun is one of those guys that everybody loves, but there's not a lot there in terms of like, there's a separating, he was up 24-0 against Pat Mahomes and they did nothing. So, but I think there's a tier, and he's a tier below that of the elites. And then I would think Dak is even a tier below that. Not substantially further down, but he's a tier below.
I know Colin yesterday put out that graphic on his show of the top tier and the second tier. I was surprised to see Dak not in that second tier. I'm not saying that just in how it was put together. I think Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan were in that tier. But
yeah, I would put him. I mean, Garoppolo's had some work, but Garoppolo's got his own issues. I would put him right there with Garoppolo.
Yeah. How about Ben Roethlisberger? Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said the meeting went well today, as Ben Roethlisberger did meet with Art Rooney II, the team's owner, to talk about what they need to do with Big Ben's contract. It's a good step.
It went well today. In other words, like, look, he's going to take a massive haircut, and they're going to kick that thing, and they're going to run it back one more time. They're probably going to draft an heir apparent quarterback.
Yeah. And it was when the Cam Hayward restructure happened yesterday, there was talk on, you know, like what that means. But to me, it just made more sense that they have to get their other things in order before they realize how much they can actually pay Big Ben and what he would need to make if he was to come back. Speaking of coming back in 2021, the Washington football team will be back. The football team will unveil their official name and new branding concept in 2022, Doug. So we will have a second straight year of the WFT, the Washington football team. And then next year we will find out what that Washington football team will move forward as.
I don't mind the Washington football team thing. Like, why do you have to? Why can't you be the one team without a nickname?
That may be that way. To me, it's just so blah. And the numbers on the helmet, like you see how the Chargers do it with, not just with the colors, but just how it looks with the bolt and the number. Like, that's the way to do it. Like, the way that their numbers are put on the helmet right now is just, I don't know. You could just tell that it was a last minute decision. Not that there was much that they could do about it. It totally reminds me of like the fake teams that you would have in video games before there were, you know, rights. It was just Washington. So I like the nickname.
And that's the press. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
And look, this gives them a chance to have a thoughtful nickname, right? Like a really, like, let's not get rushed into it. Let's try and think about it. Let's try and catch our breath. All right, so the big story of the day is Tiger Woods in a car accident, and he's whatever's going on with his legs is not good. Thankfully, not life-threatening. So the question becomes, I mean, how bad is it? You know, how bad is it? Fixable? You know, will he play professional golf again? Will he get back to, will he walk without a limp? You know, like, we have no idea, but man, I have great sympathy for Tiger. Cause there's really no one or nothing like him. You know, a guy who early in his career, nobody cared what he did off the golf course. And then all of a sudden they did. And we found out and he became a villain and his body broke down. And then he came back and here we are. Thankfully he's okay. But I would guess we don't see him play professional golf again. I don't know. More on the story upcoming. This is Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.